Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays, 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, let's get to our main guest of the show. He's a guy who used to join us weekly. And before we get to him, Waddle,
yeah,
what is your very first memory of the 2016 World Series?
Well, selfishly, it was the fact that knowing Kyle was coming back and was going to be able to play, it was that I put $100 down on Kyle Schwarber to be the first person to hit a home run in the game. And it was 40-1 odds. So I bet $100 to win $4,000, and when Kyle hit it about 6 inches short of leaving the park, I yelled the F word as loud as I could on the third baseline about five rows up.
Yeah, we all remember it as a great comeback story. Waddle remembers it for the money. And let's talk to him right now. He joins us on the Corona Hotline. He's Kyle Schwarber. Hi, Kyle. How are you feeling?
Fellas, what's going on? Nice to be on here again.
So how vividly do you remember that at bat and whether or not you had nerves going into that first game of the World Series after everything that happened to you in 2016?
I remember everything, that whole series, like it was yesterday. But, rolling in that bat, that was my second at bat. And the first at bat, I go in there and, first off, I'm really nervous. I mean, I had the nerves. I was confident. And, not everyone knows that when I was down the fall league, that I made some good contact, but there was a few weak rollovers and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to make the team here. And, sure enough, I did. So I'm like, all right, let's go. And then I looked at, you look at your lineup again, so it's going to be Kluber. And I was like 0-for-5 with 5 punch outs when I faced that guy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to come up with an excuse or something just if I look, this looked terrible. And I remember the first bat, I got 3-2, worked him pretty good and punched out. And I was like, all right, you know what? I got this. It's still the same game, and I feel pretty good at the plate. And I was able to go back and watch some video. And the pitch he punched me out on was a front door two seam. And I swung under it, thinking that there was going to have a little bit more depth, and it didn't, kind of just stayed on the same plane. And so I was like, all right, if he throws that pitch again, I know what to do now. And sure enough, he leaked it a little bit more over the middle there on that pitch that hit off the wall. But it was the same pitch, was able to put a good swing on it, and I was, blown up. Come on, get out.
And, me too.
Hit off the wall. And then I was panicking to get the second. and everything worked out.
We always talk about, the importance of confidence. And some would ask, well, with a professional athlete, how important is it? But it sounds like as you describe this, like confidence is very important. And in that moment, it was something that maybe you were concerned about, but after a while, it came back to you.
Definitely. I think confidence plays a big role. I mean, when you're rolling into a game and, you're feeling good, you're feeling, as Joe would say, sexy, and you're feeling confident about yourself, you feel like something good's going to happen. And it can go the complete other way, too, when you're going to roll into the game and you don't feel like you have your swing and you're in for a grind. You still got to go up there with that confidence and knowing that it could just take one swing to get you out of it. But, I think when I look back the 16 there in the World Series, the confidence thing, especially after that first at bat, I was in there competing. And then when I was able to come back to the dugout and sit down and think about it, I was pretty confident that I was going to be able to put in some solid at bats.
Kyle Schwarber joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Before we get to the current stuff, the thing that Waddle and I always reminisce about, and we're still a little pissed about it, is how well you kept that a secret. Like, we were doing weekly hits, and then you were down there in Arizona doing all that stuff, like you said, preparing to come back, and you kept it all from us.
Well, trust me, I was excited. I wanted to tell the world, but, I know that it broke at some point during the championship series, but, I was just ecstatic whenever the doctor told me the news, and I was just all worried about this, trying to get down, trying to get it, trying to take a bats, whatever it is, to try to get ready, and it was just a whirlwind of, it was like, I think the turnaround was either like 5 or 6 days there of, getting told yes, then heading down to Arizona, and then getting back to Cleveland for game one of the World Series. So it was a whirlwind of emotions. I'm sorry I didn't tell you guys. And I know it really broke your heart, but I think it worked out in the end for everyone.
Yeah, it worked out for everybody. All right, so Kyle, tell us your state of mind right now. Is it more excitement over the deal and the future with Washington? Are you stung a little bit? What happened to the Cubs? How are you feeling right now the way this played out?
I would say at first, when I was non-tendered, it definitely was a little bit of a gut punch. It's not the way that you want to end your tenure with a team, and especially for all the things that I went through there and all the history that we made with the fellas. And it was the only thing I knew. I was drafted by the organization. I came up, and we were all a bunch of young kids, and we made history together, and these are, relationships that aren't ever going to end just because we did something unbelievably special together, one, and two, it's just a great group of humans over there. But, once the gut punch kind of got your breath back, I was really looking forward to the next opportunity. And as soon as Washington, I heard there was interest, I knew that I wanted to pursue that, and one, be reunited with Davey, two, the talent over there it's a really good team, and three, the division, they have a winning culture over there. They want to keep winning, and they're not going to back down to anyone in the division and to go out there and try to win another World Series.
Kyle, looking back at your time with the Cubs, you guys did something obviously that hadn't been done for better than 100 years on the North side, and you guys did have tremendous success. But with that as the backdrop, are you a little bit surprised that you guys didn't get back to a second World Series at any point?
I don't think people understand how hard the game is in terms of, it's 162 games, and a lot of things can go great, and a lot of things can not go so great at some points. And, the first goal there is to win your division so that you do make it into the playoffs. And you look at the division that we played in pretty much through, 2015 through 2020. Those are pretty good. It was a really good division.
Yeah.
You're facing really good players, really good pitching. And, any way you can get to the playoffs is a way that you can get to the World Series. And, once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And, I think that not many people can say that they won a World Series, they went to three NLCSs, and, made the playoffs 5 out of 6 times. And, I think that's something that we should be proud about, mm-hmm. and not something that you should look down on and say we should have won more World Series, because it's hard. It's hard to get there, and it's even harder to win one.
Kyle, fans have been critical over what the Cubs are doing. Are you surprised that they're retooling and maybe even rebuilding?
Personally now, I mean, I think it's a little surprising just with everything that is there and that was brought in. And, obviously I don't know anything about financial situations or things like that, but I just know that we had something really good there, and we had a lot of good human beings around. And it was fun to be able to go out there and play for Chicago, because every time you're going out there, everyone expects you to win. And everyone wants you to win. And everyone's in tune to a game out there, which is unbelievable. And just to see what's going on now, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, you see Yu Darvish go and Victor Guarantee. You know, Yu Darvish, obviously, with what he did the past, you know, season and a half there, you know, 2 years, it was unbelievable. And, you know, to see a guy like John Lester, you know, who I don't know his future, if he's going to be able to come back or not. And obviously Victor, who's a great human being, a great catcher, and a great at bat. You know, it does kind of, you know, it stinks, but I don't know what the plans are. And you know what, hopefully, you know, I care for those guys over there, and I hope that, you know what, whatever happens, they go out there and they win the division. And, you know, hopefully we get to meet them in the playoffs at some point.
Kyle, how about the experience? Like, I know that there's some embedded bias because you played the majority of your games at Wrigley Field. And with no disrespect meant to your new team and your new fans, but is playing at Wrigley unlike anything else that you could ever experience in Major League Baseball?
It definitely was a really good thing to experience as a your first team and your first experience being able to have your home park as being Wrigley Field. Like I said, the fans were in tune. They were they wanted you to win, and they didn't care if you were down 8-0. They're still with you till the end, and you know, that I think that's something I'm never gonna forget. You know, I'm not gonna forget ever running out the left field every game, being able to salute the fans, give them a thank you, and time to roll. And you know, I think fans accepted it really well. And I think that's one thing that I'm definitely gonna miss, is just being able to roll out there in the left field. But you know what? Hopefully, whenever we do come back, and hopefully there's gonna be fans in the stands, I might be able to do it one last time.
That would be great, yeah. What did Jed tell you, Kyle, when he called you to let you know?
You know, I was talking with my agency that day, and they were like, hey, you know what? It might happen. It might not. Just a heads up. And got a call from Jed about 5 minutes before the deadline, and he was like, hey, man, you know, this is what's going to happen. We all love you. But, you know, we're just going to go ahead and non-tender you. And we'd love to have you back. And we got to see what happens down the road. But we'd love to have you back. And if it's not this year, we'll definitely keep interest in the following years down the road. So no hard feelings at all. But, you know, it is what it is.
Did they ever come back with an offer? Or was because what you got in D.C. was, did it never get to that point?
No, it never got to that point. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I think that was kind of the only conversation we had there once free agency got started. So it is what it is, but I got a lot of respect for the organization and, you know, a lot of respect for all those people that are in there running the gig. And like I said, I'm going to love the players, and we're all going to be bonded forever. And I've made a lot of good friendships there that aren't going to go anywhere soon.
Kyle, I was interested in your take on how challenging this past season was from just an everyday perspective with COVID and having to deal with it and no fans in the stands and just your overall experience, how different it was.
Yeah, it definitely was a little bit different. I mean, first off, you're playing 6 games and you're in a sprint and every game's going to matter. And, you know, and this is just for every baseball player. And, you know, whenever you're going through something, you just got to keep going to the grind and knowing that you just got to keep trying to do something that day to help the team win. And, you know what, it definitely was different going to Wrigley and not being able to see 40,000 packed in and, you know, being into the game and things like that. You had to make your own adrenaline. And it was definitely a different year with, you know, some of the family things that people had to go on with. And, you know, just the restrictions of trying to keep our whole club safe. And, you know, it was pretty much just the, you know, what you wake up, eat lunch, you know, you eat lunch, go to the field, and then you come back, go to sleep, do the same thing. And, you know, it was definitely different. I hope that we never have to experience it again. And it sounds like we're heading on the right track for a full spring and a full 162. So I think that this is going to be good for the game of baseball, and hopefully Noah fans are going to be sneaking in there soon.
Yeah, we hope so. Kyle, as we wrap up with you, I know you talked a little about the fans, and you talked about Wrigley and how in tune they were, but if you could talk to the Cub fans directly right now, if I give you the floor, what would you like to say to them?
Oh, man. I just want to say thank you. I mean, I feel like that I just wanted to go out there and I wanted to play my hardest and never leave a doubt in anyone's mind out there, knowing that, you know, I didn't take a playoff or things like that. And it was a pleasure to be able to be there for these past 6 years and to play for those fans. And you know what? Like I said, I'm never gonna forget the times that you ran out the left field and get the salute, or whenever you hit, you know, a home run and you just hear the fans going. And you know, I'm never gonna forget 2016. I'm never gonna forget the parade and how crazy that was, and how everyone still says thank you to this day. So I just want to say thank you, guys. For embracing me and embracing my family. And it's something that I'm never going to forget. And you guys are always going to be in my heart. And I can't wait to see you guys again.
Kyle, well, thank you for the memories. Thank you for the friendship. And all the best in D.C., okay?
Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. There's Kyle Schwarber. Really good stuff with him. We'll discuss that. And we'll also have Would You Rather. It's all coming up.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Good conversation with Kyle Schwarber. Really class act, too. He's always been great to us. In good times and bad times, it's something that I posted over the weekend, Waddle. You know, those stand-up athletes are the ones that we enjoy most. You know, the ones who are engaged when they talk to us.
Willing obviously, participants.
Right, willing participants. But then, like, even when you're struggling in the leadoff hitter's role,
yeah,
you still come on the radio, you don't talk, and you're still willing to face the music. And Kyle, to me, and I get a lot of people saying, Sylvie, you overloved Schwarber. Or you really, he's Oppo Mitch to me in one regard. Like, Mitch built up some of his stats in sort of meaningless games against not really good opponents. Did Kyle Schwarber live up to what I thought he would be when he came up with the Cubs in 15? Overall, no. But I ask you, I ask anybody, whether you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan or just a baseball fan, name me, when you make the list of best postseason performers in Cubs history, name me guys who's better than Kyle Schwarber. Go. In the history of the Cubs. I don't know, Waddle. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, what he did in 15... If you remember in the wild
five home
card
runs,
game.
Eight yeah. RBIs. He hit .333. He was on base 42% of the time.
Yeah, you may get me with Rizzo when you really dig deep. But like in the World Series, coming off that knee injury, heroic, resilient, you know? And then he started the 10th inning rally. When they came out, everyone talks about the rain delay. What people don't talk about is, what if Schwarber doesn't get on base post-rain delay? What happens then? Starts the rally, you know, and everything happens. So Rizzo's a good answer, but I don't know if there's anybody else. I mean, Lester's been really good. Lester's been awesome postseason. But there aren't many names, even in his short time in Chicago, than Kyle Schwarber in the postseason.
He had three hits in his last 22 postseason at-bats. So when you talk about or you think about Kyle, it was the 2015 and 2016 right. performances.
With a lot of those guys. Yeah. I bet you if you look at what were the – don't you remember the Brian and Rizzo numbers over the last two postseasons? Look at their numbers.
Yeah,
like,
they haven't
It's
been,
funny. I wanted to bring it up to Schwarbs that I don't know. Sometimes when you're a young team, you're too dumb to know. You know what I mean? Like the pressure doesn't get to you because you just – you don't understand it, and you're just up there mashing, and you don't overthink it. And then the more you know and how hard you know it is, like he was reflecting about their run 5 out of 6 going in the postseason and why it's not a bad thing that they only won one. And he said it's really hard. The more you know that it's really hard, maybe you start overthinking it, and it becomes harder. When they were all young, boy, they used to bounce back all the time, and right. they would usually come through in 15 and 16. The more postseason at-bats they got, the worse off they got for it.
You know, it's crazy because now I'm going through the guys' postseason batting numbers, and, like, they're all the same. Kind of. I just looked at Rizzo's, and I think his career postseason batting average is 170. And I'm looking now at Chris Bryant's career postseason batting average, 39 games played, 153 at-bats. His career average in the postseason is 170 with an on-base percentage of 206 and an OPS of 497. That's for his entire time in the postseason. Now, you call that, whatever that sample size is, it was 39 games total going back to 15, 16, 17, 18, and 20. It is kind of weird. Like, I'm going to Rizzo's postseason career postseason stats in the post or in postseason of his career. His career postseason average is 170 with an on-base percentage of 216.
That's what I mean.
Hitting in the postseason, like everything is harder because competition is better. But like even Javi, you have any guess for what Javi's career postseason number?
208.
200 with an on-base of 243.
That's why they haven't won more.
Yeah, and a lot of those numbers are diluted or knocked down to where I recited them. Because of what has happened more recently, not in 15 right. and not in 16.
Right, and that's why that's the lasting impact. Like, I couldn't believe what Schwarber was as a rookie in 15. And to do it in the wild card game right away. I saw Derek Lee and Mark DeRosa, Aramis Ramirez, and that 07-08 team. All those guys just completely choke and not hit in those postseasons. And here comes Kyle Schwarber in 15 as a rookie, this pudgy rookie. You know, put one in the river or close to it in that first game against Pittsburgh, and Jake Arrieta do what he did. And then I saw Kyle Schwarber hit one on the scoreboard to eliminate your number one rival in the Cardinals to pronounce, yes, the wild card wasn't a fluke. We're beating the Cardinals in 4. And then I see him come back from a devastating knee injury in 6 months without basically having a full season and hitting 412 in the World Series.
Made you feel warm and fuzzy, didn't it?
Yeah. So, like, do I overlove Kyle Schwarber? Yes. Am I cool with overloving a postseason hero of mine? You're GD right.
You're damn right.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
I mean, we enjoy it, like you said, too. We enjoyed spending time with him. He was good dude. Had a good run. Maybe he'll be back at some point. Maybe he'll be back.
He said that Jed left that open down the road. I also tweeted out this question, grade the White Sox offseason.
By the way, the road, what will the payroll be like, what, $45 million for the year? Is that what it is?
$45 million? That's on the high side of the way
they're going right now. That's 2024.
$45 million for the whole team.
Yeah, they're going to try to sell him a rooftop.
Deferral payments.
I'm telling you, if they were smart, and I don't know what their balance sheet looks like. I know they've got a lot of debt. Get out there and buy some of the stuff for pennies on the dollar.
As someone pointed out, say what you want. If the dad's out now, you know what I mean? Like all the controversy with him, but he supplied the money and he founded TD Ameritrade, correct?
Yes. They sold it for, what was it, $7 billion?
A lot of money. A lot of money.
Isn't the number one investing theory that when
there's blood in the streets,
Maybe now buy you buy.
Yeah, you don't now start selling stuff at the lowest point. Now you buy. And that
listen, money's cheap. It's easy for us to say neither one of us owes a billion. I'm close, but neither one of us owes $1 billion. But, like, I'm with you. Like, we all said we had a text chain about, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, where I was trying to get guys to throw some money in together and let's go buy something up there.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
We'll go buy we'll buy a small restaurant or a
four
bar.
There's four buildings open by me that are bar. Used to be bars.
Are you saying us? You want to get in the restaurant business now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the future. Probably buy it fairly cheap.
You act like the bars in Wrigley aren't going to be full the second everyone goes
post-pandemic.
They'll bounce back, yeah. I hope so, as long as they can stay afloat now. And then I want you to grade the White Sox offseason. We told you earlier about Hendricks. So they get Hendricks, top of the game closer. They have Lance Lynn, Cy Young finalist the last couple of years. Only to a one-year deal, though. And then they added Adam Eaton. Do you give them an A, a B, a C, or a D? I'll review those grades with you. It's also last call for Would You Rather. In about 10 minutes, we'll do Would You Rather. So send us your best either-or questions. Tweet them to Bleck and Abdallah. Hashtag it, Waddle and Sylvie, Would You Rather. And we're continuing to monitor the Bears situation. Still no answers either way. We've had some great calls on that. 332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Got a couple of poll questions, courtesy of my friends at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers.
Got a couple of polls in the water.
That's right. It's P-O-L-L.
A couple of lines in the water.
Yeah, some people were spelling it differently on the Twitch chat the other day, and I'm like, you stay away from that one. I'm talking about P-O-L-L. I'm taking inventory. I'm looking for votes.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
All right.
First of all, we're waiting still on the Bears. If you're just getting into your car, there's still no word. There was some talk from Dan Weider and also Mike Garafolo from the NFL Network earlier that people are on edge up there. No one really knows what's going on.
Well, shouldn't you be? I mean, like, you've been all in for a couple of years now, and you've been average at best with there's no real direction going forward.
Yeah, but for you and I, but there have been a lot of naysayers with us, like Gene Greco yesterday, and Mark's joining us later today.
Well, he thinks it's all money-related.
Right, and I don't think Yurko thinks there's going to be any changes. A lot of the fans, and so, like, I asked fans, George McCaskey will, A, fire Nagy, B, fire Pace, C, clean house, or D, keep them all. And we've had nearly 6,000 votes. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. 68% Waddle say they're going to keep them all.
Well, I think that we're all conditioned to think that they are less inclined to make bold moves than not.
But again, this is the same guy who's run the team, who fired John Fox. He fired Jerry Angelo.
Yeah, but he
fired Mark Trestman.
You're right.
He fired Phil Emery.
You hear the same refrain all the time, though, don't you? Some of the stuff that, like, Mark Gian Greco talked about and others. And they'll tell you that, you know, the record is what the record was. I made this point earlier. I think when if you come out and your mandate is, well, they've got a chance. This is their last chance. They got to turn. You start to make decisions that are best for your job security and what might not be best for the overall organization for the short run and the long run. So if you find yourself in a scenario, if you're George, and you're like, okay, if I keep these guys, what are they going to do? Are they going to make a bold move? Probably not, because a bold move could blow up in your face. And what they're trying to do is preserve their occupation.
Right. Or is he going to be trading future? If they allow Pace back and then Ryan Pace says to himself, well, I got to win now. Is he going to then again trade all the Bears draft inventory and put it in this year? It's like what I read that quote from Jeffrey Lurie about what is best for the team three, right. 4 years down the road.
Well,
and is putting Ryan Pace in a CYA spot where he must save his job this year, is that what's best for the organization going forward? Like, I want his hands off of the next quarterback. Hands off.
Yeah. Look, and you don't need to make this decision like right now, but it's got to be made sooner rather than later. You've got some coaches potentially that are out there that are on the verge of second interviews. Like, you're not behind the eight ball totally right now, but at some point,
right,
you're going to have to get involved. Like, a guy like John Schneider today re-signs with the Seattle Seahawks. There was talk maybe he would meet with the Lions. I mean, there are
That's
other
guys.
That's why
I'm not, even if they tell me, Waddle, that they're blowing these guys out, and I won't be that excited because if George just made the decision today and isn't down the road on any sort of a hiring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he's just starting the work now, if they decide, okay, I talked to these guys, they're not my answer in the future. I got to get rid of Ryan. I got to get rid of Matt. But now George says, now we'll start the search. When everybody else has been doing the search for a while, some of them have been doing the search during the season because they fired their guys. Like, that wouldn't make me thrilled either. It would be better than keeping Pace.
I'm still at this point, I'm trying to come to terms with also the fact that what's the delay? I mean, what are you trying at this point? What are you trying to discern that you haven't already come to a conclusion?
Are they interviewing for their? I don't condone this. Are they interviewing?
Could be
them, like, to keep their jobs?
Yeah. What is your plan going forward?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
again,
maybe the question that they're asking.
Why? Yeah. Why should you get to keep your job? I don't know. And then the other poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Grade the White Sox offseason. We've had 1,200 votes in the last 12 or so minutes. So that's really good. And Sox fans are happy. They're very happy with the Liam Hendricks news now, especially. I bet you this would be markedly different if the Hendricks news hadn't happened. But we have nearly 50% of the vote giving them an A. 48.6%. Now, remember what the offseason includes. The offseason includes getting rid of the manager.
Yes. Positive move.
But then you hired La Russa. That wasn't overwhelming. Yeah, a lot of people were.
Questions.
And then Lance Lynn with the trade there. Adam Eaton, you brought Adam Eaton back. And now you got, like I said, one of the top of the market closers. So 48.6% are giving them an A. 39.2% are giving them a B. So basically, it's like 88% being thrilled with an A or B on the moves.
You got a new person in the dugout who is not baseball stupid. I think we came to terms with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. The question becomes, will he connect with some of the younger players? So I get that question. You've added to your rotation with Lance Lynn, right? Oh, you gave up Dunning. Is that correct?
Yep.
It's a 1-year deal, so you're not tied to him for an extended period of time. You needed to, at some point, find a closer, whether it was Colum A bringing him back as a free agent or now Hendricks, who you've signed. You added Eaton. You've addressed some issues. B+.
Yeah, that's what B+. B+. Like, if they signed Bauer, I'd give them an A. If you got Hendricks and Bauer. Like, if you kept Dunning and you just wanted to see him develop, like you said, you can never have too much pitching, and then you signed Bauer, even if it's a 1-year deal like Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn's a bargain at his 1 year.
What's he, like $7.5-8 million?
Yeah, it's very low. But again, like, he's not a part of your future.
Right. That's why I'm not at an A.
Yes.
B plus?
Yes.
B plus.
4.9% give them a C, 7.3% give them a D. Black, you're a Sox fan. What's your grade for them?
Well, before you gave the C and D answers, I was going to say this is a class where you can only get A's and B's. I don't think you can sit here and look at this team and what they've done in the offseason.
Give them a C
and
or
give
a
them
D.
A C or a D. With
Unless
a
you're a
realist-
Cubs fan and you just want to be a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if that's what you're doing. But like, okay, say you don't like the La Russa signing. I don't think you can argue. It's still an upgrade over the last manager.
Agreed.
No?
Yeah,
right?
I know, I'm with you. That's what I mean. He's
manager.
Not baseball stupid.
You have a closer now, if you want to use him in that fashion. You have a starter who puts down innings, who can help your starting rotation. And you also bring in Adam Eaton, who is a very good defensive player. Yeah, yeah. And the metrics, I know there's a lot of Sabre metrics out there where his defensive play isn't as good as it used to be, and he's also not as good as an on-base player as he used to be as well. A little depreciating value there, but he adds to the mix to an offense that's already really good. I think B and A are the only options you can vote because you've improved on a team that was really good from last year, and you've addressed a couple major issues that we knew were going to be options here in the offseason.
It's a really simple question, right?
Closer, starting rotation.
Are you better now than you were when the season ended?
I would say absolutely.
Then how could you then vote?
You can't be a C or D. So
right. How could you be a C or D?
Well, an 88% aren't going C or D. So yeah, that's pretty good for a poll question.
It is, absolutely.
12% are Cubs fans.
To vote, Sylvie, I would say this. I understand your point that you would give them an A if they land Trevor Bauer. I don't know if they necessarily need to land Trevor Bauer. So I'm going to give them an A just because I think they've upgraded deficiencies that they had at the end of last season in the playoffs.
Would you rather trade it for Lance Lynn or sign Lance Bauer or Trevor Bauer?
So I'm not giving up
Dunning.
Right. Dunning. And then you're keeping Dunning and you're just giving up more money in Bauer.
Is it only 1 year, though, for Bauer?
Maybe.
But that's all that you got Lynn for.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. That's an A.
He's such an unlikable dude, though.
I like him. I like that he wears a black
hat. Yeah, you like,
he reminds
you like
me
that
of
he has YouTube videos. Yeah, you like that.
Yeah, I like it.
I think that stuff's all eyewash. Pitch on the mound. Shut up.
And he has. I mean,
shut up, guy.
Again, if he's doing those videos and he's got a 3.75 earned run average,
then
he's annoying.
Go to town.
Right?
Be a Cy Young candidate. Win ball games. Absolutely. I just don't need it.
3.32, 3.776.
So what did you give him, A? You gave him an A?
I'll give him an A, yeah.
I'm a B-plus guy.
Because think about it, down the stretch at the end of last season, the problem with the team that we were looking at was really the manager. They've upgraded the manager.
How he handled
it. Even if you don't like it, you can't argue that Renteria is a better option.
Yeah. So vote online at Waddle and Sylvie on Twitter. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. I'll have a word on them in a moment. Also, would you rather coming up next, 5 o'clock, we'll take your Bears calls. Anything on your mind, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Our great friends at Grand and Western Liquors, right in the heart of the city.
It's on the corner,
of
Western, yeah.
Very good, Waddle. Thanks, you know how to play this game.
I do. Thanks.
Winner gets a $50 gift certificate. They pass the savings on to you the way it should be. Whatever you want, whatever you need, they've got it all. So check them out today at Grand and Western Liquors. You tweet us using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather. We'll do it in the 2 o'clock, the 4 o'clock hour on Tuesdays, I should say.
That's what this is.
And now.
You know what I just?
What do you guys have?
Wait a second. You know what I found out? Like over the course of the last couple of hours, gambling is. I'm more comfortable gambling and not fearing of losing dressed how I am today. I found that out.
Help? Pants are pants.
The sweats have definitely helped.
I think it's a lifestyle.
I feel more confident. I feel more confident.
It's a mindset.
When
you're wearing sweats, it's a mindset.
All right.
It's a lifestyle.
It is
a lifestyle. It's a
lifestyle.
You guys, do you guys want a real one or do you want a fun one?
Let's have a fun one.
Would you rather have Ryan Pace or Theo Epstein making you your car payments? I don't know.
What? But making the car payments?
I don't know.
I'll take either one of them.
Here we go. Okay, so this is from Amy Lang. She wants to know. She wants to know, as a man, would you rather give birth once or have a cycle for the rest of your life?
Birth once. Easy.
Really?
Really?
Were you in the room for the birth of your two sons?
Go upstairs and ask your wife if it was easy.
No. Easy for me. Here's my question to you guys. I don't think when I used to ask Waddle this question, I don't know if either of you guys were on the show at this point. I always asked you, if you could give birth, like say this was a, his and hers choice, and you would make the choice.
No
would
chance.
Would you?
No.
Of course you would.
No, I'm
you
not equipped for it.
You absolutely would. If you can't picture it because it's not physiologically possible. Of course you
would.
Well,
then the question, I mean, if I can't do it.
Why is your logic, of course you would? Why would you?
Because that could be the greatest thing. You're giving life to a human being in your child. You don't think that the women who, while it's painful and while carrying that baby could suck for 9 months and the side
My
effects
wife
that
threw
go
up
with it?
Every day for 9 months with all four.
I suggest you go ask your wives this question.
Well, I know this, but do you
no,
think
but my
they would
wife
trade
has
it
no
for
regrets.
Anything?
Now, listen, she got pregnant.
They would 1,000 times trade it for you to do it
them. Yes, my wife
do
would
an
definitely,
hour podcast on this topic.
Yeah, we would have tag teamed that. She would have tagged and I would have gone in and carried the baby the next time.
Oh, that's
you know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about swingers. Talking about, have you ever watched wrestling?
Scoop.
Like where you're getting banged up, you're getting beaten up, and then you need your partner to come in and take over for you?
Yeah,
you guys grow up. You guys are supposed to be the mature ones.
Georgia, I'm going to take Angela. Here we go.
Right, here we go. You're in. Tag, you're in. Jesus.
It's your turn for Leo.
No, my wife was in labor for 20 plus hours with all four.
I hope somewhere in the Twitch chat clips Waddle pretending to give birth on our Twitch chat. ESPN.
Let me see Waddle. Let me look at you here. Let me see your birth face. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, you gotta be in the stirrups.
Oh my God. I hope someone got that so I can make a gif of it.
Are you boys going to go downstairs and watch everything happen?
What?
Abdallah and Black.
Oh, God,
I'm asking
dude,
you.
I pass out at the needles
the
and blood. I'm staying north of the border.
What am I, stupid?
North of the border.
Black, it was the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I've had great things happen in my life, too. I don't need to see that.
It does look like a hand grenade went off. I mean, it does.
Is wrong I've seen
with
it.
You.
I've seen it.
I was down there. I was like Johnny Bench. I was Tony Pena. I had one leg out.
Dude, it's your child. Yeah. Black, it's your child that you're seeing. It going from the minute
you
they don't
like
have life to the minute they have life.
What?
Said Waddle went and ran a wheel route and caught it.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. You're saying, like, what?
I was downstairs coaching her up.
He's downstairs looking at all the pictures of his favorite cubs on the wall.
Yeah. If I
Schwarber.
If I even attempt to go south of the border, there will need to be another bed in there for when I pass.
Let me ask you this.
Well, Adam's got an issue. Like, you can't have your blood drawn without getting queasy, right?
Yeah, needles, blood.
I'm kind of the same.
Really?
Yeah, I am. And Sylvie, I would respond with this. What's the duration of time in between it coming out?
It depends.
And like, you seeing it above the equator.
Well, the first one, Mason took forever. Forever. Ooh. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's his personality.
From the time he pops out to the time you see it being above the equator.
I mean a second, right?
Okay, no, it's not a second.
I'm good missing that second.
Your wife would hope that it was a second. It wasn't a second.
No. He's saying by the time, the difference in time of seeing the
by
kid.
By the time from extraction
that if you were downstairs
to
versus upstairs.
But to see the child come out is one of the
head,
great mysteries of life.
Like, I would see Mason's head. It would come out a little bit, and then it would go back in. Okay, now we got to wait for another contraction.
Peekaboo.
Yeah.
I've seen.
Awesome.
Chris doesn't like peekaboo.
I've seen Alien, so I'm good. I know what
happened.
Our winner. I think this is our winner.
You'll change when you and your lovely wife go through the process.
Not sure.
I bet you will.
No,
I bet
you will too, Black.
I bet you both
will. I used to be tough guys.
Take it from the old guys.
I'll be surprised if they have kids.
I'm just saying, I don't think that I would wander past the equator.
Never.
I
think you will. You know what?
I'm helping from the top. I'm calling plays from upstairs. I don't need to be down on the field.
You need to be talking to your players in the action. You're not connected enough.
Can't see the field down there, Sylvie. You can't see it.
My wife will tell you that for my second child, I left the building to go get a Subway sandwich because the no, I didn't have, no, because what was available in the cafeteria wasn't very good. So I almost missed the birth of my second child because I was at the Subway in downtown Lake Forest.
Can any dads vouch for me with these two kids here?
I can.
That it was the greatest thing to see if you went downstairs below the equator.
I was there for all again. I had been in a crouch more than Johnny Bench, for Christ's sake.
There's
four
nothing
times
better. Nothing bad.
Now,
it's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I will say, I wasn't down there until it was time to, you know, for the baby to come out. I wasn't just, I didn't set up shop down there.
Oh, yeah. I had a lunch. I had a sandwich. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're back in 2 minutes.